Well, as this Sunday, this morning, we are continuing on in our spring sermon series that shifts our discipleship theme from becoming to focusing on believing. And we've entitled this series, Wisdom in an Age of AI. And basically, we're recognizing that as Christ followers, we're called not only to place our belief in Him, but also modeling our lives as He did while He was on earth. You know, every generation of Jesus followers have had to address this question, of what does it mean to follow and become like Jesus in our generation? For the early church, it was enduring persecution with grace and love. When Christianity became the official religion of Europe, it became a question of one's devotion to God. And then later on, during the Reformation, the Reformers called for an evaluation of salvation by grace alone rather than just deeds. Well, we're now way past an age of information and into now the age of AI. And AI, as I mentioned, is a simulation, or it's an artificial intelligence simulating human intelligence processed by machines and are capable of learning, reasoning, and self-correction. AI systems are designed to perform tasks that require human intelligence and are much faster, never need a break, and perform consistently. It's interesting that as I engage into this topic or this theme today, particularly entitled In AI We Trust, I don't know if you noticed this week, if you're a user of the following apps, things like Facebook or Instagram or WhatsApp, did you notice that you had something new added to your app this week? Yes, some of us are nodding our heads. Meta, who is the owner of these apps, have added an AI now feature to these apps that we use every day in our daily lives to connect with one another, to be able to share information, to be able to communicate with one another. What's really interesting to me is that when this new feature was added to these apps, Google reported that the most searched item this week, or the most searched question this week, was how do I disable this Meta AI? And unfortunately, it was very quickly stated, you cannot remove or disable this feature. It is now baked in to the apps. You know, AI is the new savior in the 21st century. But I think we all are very clear and probably understand that curated information is not wisdom. Really, to become like Jesus, following and becoming like Jesus in an AI age is exhibiting lives that reflect divine wisdom. This is not a new idea. As with every generation, we're tasked with answering the question the Apostle James asked in his letter in James 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life in the humility that comes from their wisdom. Now, interestingly enough, in 2021, Newsweek ran a survey and asked the question, in which profession do we trust the most? Or in other words, in whose wisdom do we trust the most? And as you can see here, I don't think it's any surprise that nurses, woo, yay, nurses are number one, followed by medical doctors and teachers. And this is in 2021, when we were still in the pandemic, which is quite interesting. So you might be asking, well, where do pastors rank? Well, apparently pastors are ranked number 7 on the list. This is out of 15, okay? So at least we made it in the top 10. Woo! Yeah. Do you want to know who the bottom 3 are? And I'm really sorry if you're in these professions. Marketers. Nobody trusts marketers. Car salespeople. They really get a bad rap, you know. And lastly, politicians are the most untrustworthy people, or the most untrustworthy profession. Well then, the next obvious question is, in this new age of AI, what do humans think about our trust level in AI? And this was conducted, a study was conducted by the University of Queensland, and these are the results. 61% of those surveyed did not trust AI. It's interesting, I'm not sure what the numbers were, but that's what they say anyway. Furthermore, 73% are concerned about the risks associated with AI. And this is the most ironic thing. 85% still believe AI will deliver a range of benefits. So I don't get it, because the statistics don't make sense, that on one hand, you know, we say we don't trust it, and yet on the other hand, we're like, yeah, they're actually going to give us a range of benefits. So it's kind of interesting. In Canada, where the development of AI applications has increased in 2020, so much so that our federal government is now has now put forward $2.5 billion, I believe, towards the future development of AI applications. So, Chris, you have a job for the next 20 years. Woo! Job security. You know? I don't know. I hope not. But you have job security, dude. That's awesome. Anybody in the IT world. Canadians are still wary of the adequacy of regulations, laws, and safeguards to protect people from the risks of AI, as well as the persons or groups who develop and use these AI. It's not AI's fault that humans don't trust this new technology. It's our lack of trust in our fellow humans to have our best interests in mind. We question the motivation, the ability to safeguard us from harm, the proper use of this information. So as the people of God, what do we do? How do we navigate this new reality? Well, we turn to Solomon, and you know, scripture says that he was the wisest person alive. And in Solomon's time, they also too had many advances that they could have put their trust into. In fact, they had made so much advances in mathematics, engineering, astronomy, and agriculture. By the time Solomon came around, humanity had already invented the wheel, which allowed for ease of transportation, the plow, which increased agricultural yields, mapped the stars. You know, they already knew most of the new universe by Solomon's time. And yet, here, Solomon instructs his sons in Proverbs 3, 5, verse 6. Instead of telling them to place their hearts in just human ingenuity and curiosity, he tells them to trust in the Lord. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Trust in the Lord is not merely a superficial or circumstantial, but goes to the very core of our being. It requires a complete surrender, a relinquishing of our will and the desires in favor of God's perfect plan. We all recognize that our world right now is fraught with uncertainty and turmoil. Then what becomes of our trust? So we then put our trust in our God, who becomes our anchor, our steadfast assurance amidst life's storms. However, trusting in the Lord does not mean forsaking reason or understanding. Rather, it invites us to acknowledge the limitations of our own understanding and wisdom. Our finite minds often struggle to comprehend the mysteries of God's ways. But in acknowledging his sovereignty and wisdom, we find peace in knowing that his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9. Furthermore, the call to acknowledge him in all our ways is a call to live in constant communion with him. It is an invitation to invite God into every aspect of our lives, our work, our relationships, our dreams, and our fears. When we acknowledge God in all we do, we recognize his presence, His guidance and His provision in every circumstance. You know, as I shared in the last season, that I was not born into a Christian family. I did not know about this God, that I was a idol worshiper. And the trust that I was taught to place into these idols wasn't a trust like this, where the God, the idols to whom we worshipped, would actually want to be involved in my life, to want to be able to provide me guidance, and who cares about my relationships and my dreams and our fears. Or rather, the trust that we were taught to have towards these idols was trusted that we did not anger them, that these gods would come back and hurt us. That is the kind of trust that we were taught to believe. But this God of our Bible, this is the reason I love our God. Because this God that we have in Scripture, in our Bible that we know today, He promises that He will make our straight our paths. In a world of twists and turns, ups and downs, God's promises brings us hope and assurance. It assures us that even when the road ahead seems uncertain, God is faithful, leading us, guiding us, and directing our steps towards His perfect will. You know, the passage that comes to mind as I think about this guiding us on this straight path is Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I don't know about you, but if you look at this image, if you look at that type of lamp that's there, and even our modern flashlights, they really don't go very far. They don't shine that far. Really, they're only meant to only show you maybe this much space. And that's all you can see to help you to be able to move forward. Well, then, the Word of God then becomes the source of God's wisdom to His people. The Word of God is alive because He is a living God. Can we say amen to that? The Word of God is alive because He is a living God. And we get that from Hebrews 3:12, 2 Corinthians 6:16. His words are full of energy, life, power, and productivity. These are not dead words on a page. And when we allow these words to permeate us, to become an active presence in our lives, they can cause things to happen. Psalm 33, verse 9. We can trust the Word of God to accomplish whatever God purposes and intends to it, because wherever He sends it, to prosper wherever He sends it, Isaiah 55, verse 11. And our application today is then, we study it, 2 Timothy 2:15. We meditate on it, Psalm 119:97. We hold firmly to it, Philippians 2:16, and hide it in our hearts, Psalm 119, verse 11. And when we do, this is the confidence in the Lord that Solomon reinforces in Proverbs 3:26, which reads, "For the Lord will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from being caught." You know, I have big feet. And if anything, my wife says I'm a bit of a klutz. And it's true. I can trip on my feet very easily. And I can stumble and I can fall. And the only thing that keeps me actually from not falling is being aware, but also, you know, trying to ensure that I have a strong foundation in my body, how I walk. And so really, when we translate that into our spiritual lives, in our world, confidence is often associated with self-assurance or worldly success. This verse then redirects our attention to the true source of our confidence, the Lord Himself. I don't know if you've ever done a search on one of these AI chats, like ChatGPT, but it even says when you get the results, that it says it actually encourages you to go and actually search it out for yourself, to confirm that the information that is producing is true. Well, the Word of God is true. And when we place our confidence in God, we're anchoring ourselves in this unchanging truth of His character, His promises, and His faithfulness. Our confidence is not rooted in our own abilities or circumstances, but in the unshakable foundation of God's love and providence. Furthermore, the verse assures us that the Lord will keep our foot from being caught. The imagery speaks to the pitfalls, snares, and traps that we may encounter along life's journey, whether they be physical dangers, moral dilemmas, spiritual temptation. The Lord promises to guide and protect us, ensuring we do not stumble and fall into harm's way. His watchful eye is ever upon us, leading us safely through the perils of this world. So as I conclude, as we reflect on these timeless words of wisdom, let us reaffirm our commitment to trust in the Lord with all our hearts, to lean not on our own understanding, and to acknowledge Him in all our ways. May we find comfort in the promise that He will make our straight our paths, and may we walk forward in faith, knowing that He who promised is faithful. Furthermore, let us take comfort in the assurance that the Lord is our confidence and our protector. May we walk in the confidence that comes from knowing that we are held securely in the palm of His hand, and He will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen.